your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What's up, everybody? It's time for Full Draw Friday number 54. We're going to wrap up our turkey series this week with Sean Wright, who has accomplished a lot in the turkey calling and turkey hunting world. We're going to get into how you get the turkey in the back of the truck. You know, he brought that up in the podcast, and at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, putting those things in the back of the truck at the end of the hunt. So we're going to tell you guys, he's going to go over some things that will help you be successful this year in the woods. Going to kind of put a bow on this three-part series that we've been doing. So make sure that you stay locked in for that. I will say at the beginning, for about a minute and a half there, the audio is a little bit broken up. That was my bad. I had the phone hooked up the wrong way, but I got it fixed. So don't turn it off in the first minute and a half just because the audio is bad, because I promise it's better after that. So stick with us. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this one, and you stand to learn a lot from it. I think I did. I know that I picked up some things all throughout this turkey series, talking to Rip, talking to Nick, and now talking to Sean. And a big shout out to those guys for taking the time to help us out. You know, I know very little about turkey hunting. I'm learning more as we go. I was fortunate enough to have Nate here when we talked to Rip, and he's way smarter on it than I am, but I'm just kind of probably as lost, more lost than most of you guys listening when it comes to this turkey hunting stuff. So it's been a good experience for me, and I think hopefully it's been the same for everybody out there listening. So let's get into Full Draw Friday number 54 with Sean Wright.
Yeah. Been at it for a while, but for 30 plus years I was with the Night and Hail Game Calls with Harold and David. I was at the first time in 1989 they had a state turkey calling contest, and I won the state turkey calling contest here, and they both confronted me about being on their pro staff, and it was, you know, like a dream come true. So and being able to spend time with them and actually hunt a lot with both of those guys, which they are just unbelievable woodsmen, and the knowledge they have on it. I mean, they just really took care of me. I've had a lot of experience. I called with them for years, and then when they finally retired, I went with Michael Waddell for a while. I was with Bone Collector Game Calls for a couple of years, and then I had an opportunity to go with Woodhaven Custom Calls out of Heflin, Alabama. And I've been with them now for about 3 years, and they're a really first-class operation. I mean, Harold and David with Night and Hail was really something special, and Michael's a great guy, too. But this Woodhaven bunch is just, it's more like a family. And being in their shop and seeing how the quality of the calls that Mike personally looks at, 90% of every call that ever goes out, and if it ain't exactly right, it don't go out. They really do good stuff.
Cool.
But I won several state calling contests. One year I won Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, and Tennessee. I won four states in 1 year as a call, and little success, and then I've called in a Grand National the last several years. I made the cut, been in the finals two or three times, and so far my highest finish has been sixth place out of about 50 callers at a Grand National. So I was pretty happy.
You take that, huh?
Yeah, I take that every year and call it good. You know, I'm pretty happy, but in just the industry alone, I've made some of the best friends in life. You know, I've been in it now for 30 plus years, and I've made friends all over the country. And it all comes down to the old wild turkey bird. I never thought it would ever get me to this situation in life, but
right.
Thank the good Lord that it has.
Yep, for sure. It definitely brings some people together. So,
yes, sir.
And we're going to get into partly why today, because bottom line is it's getting out there and killing them, right? That everybody loves so much. That's why we
right.
do all
you
this stuff.
You got to, as they say, as Michael always says, you got to be able to put them in the back of the truck.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that's what it's going to come down to. That's yep. what everybody's hunting for. And you know, that just makes everybody smile. It makes a lot better day.
That's a perfect segue jumping into what we're going to talk about, too, because we want to put them in the back of the truck this year. So In order to do that, though, you got to find them. So,
yes, sir.
And I know there's a lot of part of the countries or lots of parts of the country, and we're kind of one of them. I think we're coming back a little bit, maybe. I think numbers might have been up last year, but it's still, there's places where they're few and far between and they're hard to find. So what are you doing as far as with scouting or just locating birds, you know, before season, or maybe it's like how far out even before season are you looking for birds, and what's that look like for you?
Be honest with you, I'm looking for birds year round. When yeah. I'm deer hunting, I'm constantly looking for scratching or seeing where turkeys are roosting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's really a never ending, just like blowing a turkey calls. I do it year round. I mean,
right.
I follow them around. But then once in the spring, say in January or this year, we've had an early spring, and turkeys around here actually started gobbling like the second week of February.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get up and I go every, just pretty much every morning. I'll spend as much time in the woods as I possibly can just to see where they're leaving sign, which way they're going. And it's always a lot better if you're in the direction that he wants to go. It's a lot better. It makes you feel like you're a lot better caller. He'll come here, come looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to get too much off on a tangent here, but I'd heard a lot of guys talk about how they were gobbling early this year. Any idea why that might be?
I don't, but personally here, I mean, like I said, I've been hunting them 40 years around here, and this is by far the earliest that, I mean, I've done mowed my yard here in mm-hmm. Kentucky in March, you know, and that usually don't ever happen.
Right.
But, I have turkeys of my own here at the house, and I've actually got a hen turkey that's already went to setting.
Yeah.
She's sitting on 13 eggs.
Wow.
But it's just Mother Nature gives them that. You know, I'm wanting to think it's just going to be that early of a spring.
Right.
And
pretty mild winter for the most part.
Right. It's been a really mild winter. And Mother Nature, as everybody you hear, you know, the turkey numbers have been down a lot here lately.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Nature is going to give them a chance to rebound here. Before season comes in,
yeah.
I have no doubt every hen should be bred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to get so much pressure. And I just think this Mother Nature's taking a course, going to give them a year to rebound and hopefully have a good hatch this spring and do really well in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems to be the way it works. Like if it
That's
doesn't
right.
get taken care of by us as, or conservationists, and Mother Nature is going to take care of it one way or the other for better
That's
or worse,
exactly.
you know,
That's exactly right.
It'll correct
exactly.
itself one way or the other. So which, you know, if they're getting bred early, it could make for tough hunting, but if you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153.
That's what I'm telling these guys here. I'm expecting the first week of season for it to already be hen setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be really good first week. I mean, turkeys could respond to you
mm-hmm.
really good. But I'm also expecting the last week of season to them be almost done.
Yeah.
You throw a little bit of pressure on them and they done been breeding for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to back off. So I'm not expecting a lot when May comes around here.
Right.
But I think it's going to be an early spring. It sure is.
Yeah. So like you said, you're looking for these birds basically year round and trying to figure out where they're going to be and where he wants to be. So like you said, you can,
yep.
you can bring him to you, even make your calls a little bit more effective, because if you're in an area he wants to go anyway, you may not even have to do the right things, and you just being in the right spot might help you. So how do you get to that right spot? Let's say like off the roost, you pull up in the morning, you get a pretty good idea of where they're roosted. Where are you setting up? How are you setting up on them? And even how close or how far away do you want to be from them when they're roosting?
Okay. You're, let's say he gobbles right off the roost.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a wide open woods, if say we don't have no foliage or nothing yet,
mm-hmm.
you have to stay further back.
Right.
Of course, naturally, they can see that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get ideally at least level with him, or maybe a little above. I mean, everybody by thing says never get below them, never get below them. But I have seen them walk right down the hill, come right to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you should get level and get as close to them. I'm talking 60, 75 yards if the terrain will let you. If you got a little ridge top there where you can get down below this side and walk down and then just ease up
mm-hmm.
close to him. You know, just don't go blundering right out across a wide open flat woods straight at him, because he's going to see you.
Right, right.
But the terrain and your woodsmanship is, to me, is 75 to 80% of a turkey hunter. You got to be able to just maneuver around without this. Don't go just stomping down the top of a big ridge and with no foliage where they can see. If you can see 200 yards, he can see four.
Right, exactly. That seems to be something that comes up pretty regular, and I think every episode we've done so far on the turkey series is, and when you talk to turkey hunters and talk about it, is woodsmanship and having an idea of what you're doing out there. Because I think with a deer, if you got the right wind, you can get lucky and not be perfect going through the woods, right? But if you're hunting turkeys, the wind doesn't matter. But like you said, if you can see 200, they can see 400. So if you're not picking your way through there, being quiet about it, using the terrain, using the foliage or the trees or the underbrush or whatever it is, you're not going to be successful. You're going to have to get really, really lucky, as opposed to putting yourself in a good spot and then getting a little bit lucky.
Very true, buddy. Very well said there. It's people don't give them the credit they deserve. I mean, these birds, they can see and hear just unreal,
mm-hmm.
you know. And to be successful, you've got to give them those credit that they deserve and just really use the terrain as your best advantage. I mean, of course, if you're hunting in, like here we have some strip mine grounds, some spoil banks, a lot of public property, a Peabody management area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty thick and stuff, where if a turkey's gobbling there, you can get pretty close to him.
Right.
Because you've got the foliage. But, you know, you just got to use your head there. If it's wide open in the woods, you know, you can't get that close to him. He'll see you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to be smart about it.
Yeah.
You know, just don't go blundering in there on him, because don't make nothing real loud, except, like you said, well, I mean, back that up, sir. You said if we're scouting turkeys, like I'll start early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, owl hooting is my favorite thing, just at daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Or a coyote. You can scream like a coyote, and it's very effective if a turkey is any distance away from you.
Right.
But if you suspect him being close, don't do the coyote, because it scares
him. Yeah, right, right. That's something that's also out there trying to kill him other than a hunter, so.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So ideally, though, what you're saying is if you can get to them, you're wanting to be like 60, 70 yards from the roost. Like, would that be your ideal setup?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I always tell them 75 would be my perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
If I could get 75 and him not have a clue that I'm there, and when he pitches down, I can call to him just real soft-like, And the odds are he's going to probably come 30 or 35 yards just to look up over the hill at you and see where that hen's at. Mm-hmm. Well, I can kill him 40 and 45 yards
right
off the bat. You know, I feel pretty secure about that.
So you're looking at it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But if you stay back 150 yards from him, if he only comes 30 or 35 to top the ridge and can't see no hen, he turns around and goes back. Well, then, you know, show's over for a little while.
Yeah, so you're really, as much as trying to shrink the distance to the roost, it one kind of leads into the other. You're trying to shrink the distance from how far he's going to pitch down away from where you're set up. And like you're saying, if...
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're within 100 yards of him when he pitches down, well, now he's only got to close just over half of that. You know?
Right.
And then you
That's
can kill
exactly
him.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that makes
yes,
sense.
Sir.
So, and you're setting you're setting up for when he pitches down then, as much as anything, so you can call to him and bring him in when he hits the ground.
Yeah, yeah, you want to talk to him. I like when if I can get set up on a tree, I'm going to give him just enough, just a couple little short bubble clucks or a little soft yips. And if he ever answers it one time, I won't do nothing else till he flies down. But you'll hear him fly when you're that close. So as soon as he hits the ground, I'll give him a kind of excited little series of yelps, not a lot. And most of the time he'll gobble and he's going to walk up there and check you out because you're already on the ground and usually the gobblers are the first one down.
Right. So he's trying to figure out who beat him to the ground.
Yeah. Like, where'd you come from? You know?
Exactly. We actually talked to Nick last week, too, a little bit, Nick Wilson, about talking to the hens some. So if you have a gobbler that's not real vocal on the roost because maybe he knows where his hens are at, but you get a hen excited or mad at you and talking to her, maybe you pitch the hens down towards you. Have you had success doing that kind of stuff, or have you seen that when you've been out?
Yeah.
The off season is upon us, and we all know that the path to success next season starts now. To consistently harvest mature bucks, you need to make the most of the upcoming months. And to do that, you need a solid plan. That's where we can help. If you guys want to improve your property to reach its full potential for wildlife, reach out to us about a consultation. We'll spend time getting to know your property and your goals for your deer herd and use that knowledge to develop a wildlife management plan that will help make the most out of the ground that you have. You can contact us through our website or social media to get started today.
I've had that success usually later up in the mornings or so. You know, when they got their hens with them or so, and you get to cutting at her, and the old hen will get aggravated at you, get to cutting, and she's going to come check you out. Well, a lot of times he'll just follow the group, you know, come up and give you a shot. He'll get close enough to give you a shot. But a lot of times, first thing off the morning, if he's decided to go with all those hens, it's usually a pretty tough ball game. Usually later on up in the morning, you got a lot better chance at it.
So, yeah, that leads us perfectly into the next thing I wanted to talk about, or kind of the next scenario, I guess. Let's say you go out for the roost hunt and you don't do any good. He pitches down with the hens, whatever. It just didn't work out. Right. Now you're getting into, you know, middle of the morning. What are you looking for then? Are you still going off of your scouting? Are you trying to find where those birds went for the middle of the day? Are you looking for where he's going to be out strutting? Maybe he's dusting. Like, what are you doing for middle of the day? Or middle of the morning, I should say.
Right. And like you said, again, usually that's where your preseason scouting comes in. You know where they like to hang out in, in a certain area, you know, in a certain draw. He goes down in this hollow a lot of times, and he'll gobble and they'll hang out most of the day. So I'll go to that ridge, usually up on about three quarters of the way up the ridge. I like to run turkey calls a lot, so I usually do a lot of excited yipping and cutting, trying to pull that gobble. You know, some people just blow crow calls, which is a great locator. Hawk screamers is another one. Just need a little something for him to give away where his location is.
Right.
But me, I'm going to be running a turkey call because I try to position myself at all times where if a turkey gobbles, can I just sit down right here and be okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I say I don't go all the way to the top of a ridge. I'll walk 3/4 of the way around the side of it, where if one gobbles just over the hill, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because usually the side that you're on, he's going to probably see you, but you got the whole other side where if you're walking down the top of it, he's going to see you on, you know,
yeah, on either side.
Gonna see you. Yeah, yeah. You don't have a chance.
Right. Exactly.
Not unless he's gobbling on his own way down there or something, and you know about where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as just walking and hoping to find a turkey, that top of the ridge walking is pretty tough without no foliage. They'll see you.
Yeah. You have pretty good luck getting them to respond in the middle of the morning, or does it take more work?
Well, it's, if you run across a turkey that don't have hens,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, I mean, soon as you can't hardly sit down fast enough sometimes.
Right,
I mean, he'll just
right.
come running straight at you. And then every now and then you'll run into one that's got 6 or 8 hens with him. And you know, he'll want to gobble about once every 10 minutes or so. And you just got to keep him interested enough that he'll gobble and just keep positioning yourself to where hopefully you can get around in front of him. Or one of the hens will finally get mad at you for talking so much to him, and she'll want to come up there and hope he follows you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, in that situation, which I think we may hit on it again there last week, if you got those hens coming at you and he's following them, it's good that he's coming to you, but, man, that's when you really got to sit in there tight and be ready because you got a lot of eyeballs on you.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir. You better be ready. Your gun better be pointed in the right direction mm-hmm. already.
Yeah, that's right. So what's something that, and maybe it's something that you've done in the past or that you see other guys do or talking to guys hearing about, what's something that you think is one of the biggest things, or even if it's a handful of things that keep guys from being successful in the turkey woods?
One of the biggest ones is they never pattern or shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Because I know it sounds silly, but every shell will shoot different in every gun. It
yeah.
don't matter if my brother's got an 870 that shoots Federals perfect, but he's going to shoot a Remington. It might shoot completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pattern. Make sure you pattern your shells that you're going to hunt with. Another one of the biggest things is overcalling. When they set up on a turkey, don't just keep screaming at the turkeys. I mean, just think about turkeys in wild and just be real to them.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Are you good?
And that's one thing. And, you know, just impatience. Patience is a huge virtue in turkey hunting.
Yeah.
You know, especially if the gobbling's slow that day or something. But just have patience on your calling that you can just sit there and set a spot for 30 or 45 minutes and just – try not to move, but just move your eyes just to see and listen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
so if you're in that spot where you're sitting there for 30, 45 minutes and you're just not hearing anything, you obviously don't want to overcall. Are you doing any calling at that point, or are you just listening and waiting for something? Are you calling a little bit? What are you doing in that spot?
I'm going to call.
Yeah.
But I won't call a lot. I'll call, say, every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Every 15 minutes, I'll run a quick little series of, you know, pop, pop, and then maybe run a little series of excited yelp and just sit and listen for another 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
It's kind of like the mornings that you get up and you don't hear no little birds singing or nothing in the woods. It's just kind of one of those dead mornings where, you know, you don't hear crows or blackbirds or nothing. With it, you just kind of the feeling of the same thing toward the turkeys. If they're not, if everything else in the world is not real vocal and just kind of a dead day, well, just call real low and real minimum, mm-hmm. just soft yelps and not a lot of them. And then you'll have days where whippoorwills are screaming before daylight and the hoot owls are hollering and turkeys are gobbling. Well, you can call a lot more then. You can call a lot more aggressive and stuff, but just let Mother Nature show you how the turkeys are going to be feeling that day.
Yeah.
I mean, just pay attention to everything in general, and it's a big plus to you.
Yeah, that's another thing that is you hear over and over again is trying to be sound and be like a turkey. You know, I think a lot of times we get out there and we got this new call we want to try, or we saw some guy on a hunting video that did this, and we got to do that, and we get out there, and it's like we stick out like a sore thumb instead of just kind of blending in and taking in the atmosphere, like you're saying, and using what the woods is giving you, and then just kind of blending a little bit. And obviously, to some extent, you have to stand out because you want him to come to you instead of another hen, but at the same time, you can't stand out so much that he knows something's up.
That's exactly right, sir.
Hey, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode. If you don't already, go over to Instagram and Facebook and give us a follow at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group called Ridge Hunter Nation where you guys can have some input on the show. You can ask us questions. You can ask upcoming guests questions. You can tell us who you want us to have on and what you want us to talk about. And on top of all that, just use it as a regular hunting group. Share your stories, your success, pictures, your failures, whatever it is. That's all at Ridge Hunter Nation on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to find more info on the consulting and management services that we provide. We also have the podcast posted on the website with some other content as well. And we have our merchandise and our food plot seed. And if you find any of that stuff that you want, make sure you use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. And you get 10% off your entire order there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that lets you do so, make sure you rate and review. That helps us, and give us a follow there too. YouTube, our channel is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can subscribe to that, hit the notification bell so you know when everything comes out. The podcast will be posted there, as is our Fall Pursuit show, which we'll have more of coming up next season. You guys can go back and rewatch everything that we did this year. We had 10 episodes on that. We're hopefully going to do some turkey hunting this spring, and of course, we'll have all our off-season content on YouTube as well. So thanks to everybody who already does follow and subscribe. If you don't, make sure you go do that. Now let's get back to the episode.
If you're hunting in some places, is even a lot worse than others. If you're hunting a lot of public ground where you know people's done, you see tracks in the paths and where people's been in and out a whole lot, probably the best call you can do is just scratching the leaves.
Yeah.
Cluck and purr, scratching the leaves. Just something real turkey-like that's not loud and ain't going to scare them. I mean, that is one of the most – there's a lot of calls that a turkey would gobble to. But the scratching in the leaves and clucking and purring, that's the calls that puts them in the bed of the truck.
That's right. That's right. That's the ones they're going to come to, right?
That's right. That's the one they think's real. You know, you soft one or two note yips and just clucking and purring and scratching them leaves, and you'll fool a whole lot of turkeys doing that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think on every one of these episodes, I've made some kind of reference to deer hunting because that's like – me personally, first and foremost, I'm a deer hunter, and I'm getting to where I'm loving turkey hunting too, but there's a lot of parallels in, and part of it's woodsmanship, but also, like on the calling side of it, if you got a buck that's hung up and it's during the rut and he's over there all mad, but you've grunted at him and you can't get him to come in, it seems like, I mean, I've had a lot of luck with it, just like what you're talking about, shaking a tree limb or scratching leaves, doing something that's natural that gives him that extra, okay, that actually is a deer, or in this case, okay, that actually is a turkey. It's not just, you know, some other redneck sitting behind a tree with a shotgun and a mouth call, you know. That's actually exactly a turkey right over there.
Yes, sir. And for instance, your buck deer in the rut, you know, then the turkeys in the spring, it's the same format there, just different times of the year. And if it's any little chance at all that old gobbler might, you know, that may be a turkey over there. That sounds kind of real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, odds are he's going to come check you out, you know?
Yeah, they just can't help it.
Sound like they're just blowing a cow horn.
Yeah.
Horn on his truck. He's probably not going to come over there.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too, you know, and you hit it on a little bit, is when you're getting there and getting out of the truck even and just being – kind of in tune with your surroundings the whole hunt, you know. Not,
yes, sir.
You can't get out of the truck and have cans rolling out and clanging and slamming doors and hooping and hollering at your buddy, you know. You got to get in there and be ready to go from when you step out. And not only so you don't hear them, but that also might be the first time he sounds off, and he may be somewhere you didn't completely expect him, so now you got to head the other direction. But it's just, I think
that's exactly right.
A lot of what I've taken from these past 3 weeks is paying attention to what's going on around you and just trying to be a part of the woods.
That's right. That is the number one thing to being a turkey killer is being woodsmanship. And like you said, just being real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back, I guess, to what we were talking about with the scouting and that kind of stuff. But is there particular places where at different times of day, whether it be on the roost or in midday, where you will find turkeys? So let's say a guy's not necessarily had the time to go out and do the scouting. Maybe it's his first year hunting or second or so. Maybe it's his first year hunting a specific property. Is there a place that you would look for that turkeys would tend to hang out?
Yes, sir. And it depends on your weather. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a rainy day, turkeys are more apt to want to stand in an open place.
Okay.
Because they can't hear or see near as good, and their feathers get wet. They want the air to dry their feathers. But fields or little food plots or something like that, if it's raining, mm-hmm. is a really good place for them to look for them. If it's a real windy, cold day, they're going to be down in a hollow, in a deep hollow, mm-hmm. out of the wind. They don't like that wind very much. But then there again, on the normal pretty days you have in the spring, he's going to be up walking and moving just like you see people. If you go through a town, you see people out working in their garden and mowing their grass and all that kind of stuff, then turkeys are probably up roaming and looking mm-hmm. around everywhere. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if it's windy and cold, they're going to be out of the wind and down low. And if it's raining, they're going to probably be in a field somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, too, based on the different situations and stuff. And even just, you know, thinking back to trail camera pictures of turkeys I had, it does seem like when I get them in the food plots, a lot of times there's rain droplets on the lens of the camera, you know?
Yep. Yep. And they like to go to the field when it's wet.
Yeah. So we've kind of hit on a lot of stuff here in a short period of time, but is there anything that we missed or that you think is something that guys should think about that maybe they don't enough when it comes to killing turkeys? Anything you want to wrap it up with?
I tell you, it's such a very plus to you if possible. And it seems like they're not doing it as much as they used to. I don't know if turkeys are adapting to pressure even more, but sometimes late in the afternoons when they fly up, turkeys mm-hmm. will gobble as they go onto the roost. And if you could roost one in the afternoon, it gives you such an advantage in the morning where you can get in position and it's dark before his head ever comes out from under his wing. You know, mm-hmm. you can slip in there and get within 100 yards of him and in the dark and just sit down there and just let the morning awake around you. And you ain't got to worry about breaking sticks or nothing else getting in there. Mm-hmm. But, a lot of times the owl hooting late in the evening, they will respond. Sometimes I have had them, but it's not as much now as it used to be. I think turkeys are adapting to pressure a little bit, but mm-hmm. that's a great scouting though, especially late in the afternoon. If you can just see them or just hear them in the woods late in the afternoon, it gives you a good general idea where they're going to be the next morning.
Yep. And I think that goes right back to just what we were talking about right before that. If you're on a new piece or you hadn't been out scouting, that's something that you could definitely take advantage of if you hear one flying up. And then, I mean, you know, real close to where he's going to be the next morning.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's what I say. That's a huge plus, man, if you could find one in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm. Then you can get into that 75-yard window, give him a couple when he flies down, and shoot him in the head at 40 yards when he peeks over the hill.
They go eat breakfast real early.
That's right. That's right. Well, Sean, it's been fun. Like I said, I think we've covered a lot of stuff here in a short period of time. So I appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your evening and talking to us and putting a bow on this turkey series. It's been fun. We're trying to do a little bit of more of this stuff, especially in the springtime since, I mean, there ain't no deer hunting going on. So I'm learning a lot doing it, and I appreciate you and everybody else that's come on to help us out.
Well, thank you very much, man. I sure appreciate y'all asking me to be on your show. I really enjoyed it. I mean, you got guys like Rip Dickerson and all that. I mean, it's a lot of good information on these podcasts, and we really appreciate y'all doing that, boy.
Absolutely, man. And, again, thanks for you coming on, and I'm sure we'll do it again sometime.
Just give me a holler anytime, buddy. Thank you.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.